After all this, you still...
I still want that gas, yes. And you had better deliver.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to the Greenhouse. We've got a small holiday gift for you with our long-awaited, extended What the Fuck is Up with George Santos deep dive. Joining me today is Josh and Sky. Finally, I have both of you on the same episode, so this is interesting.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello. It should be fun. I'll admit, I'm a little let down. When I knew we were covering a scandal, I thought, finally, we're going over Hunter Biden. But here we are, another hit piece on the right.
I mean, to derail slightly for a sec, yeah, it's, you know, Hunter Biden did all that stuff, but he managed to look cool while he did all of it. I can't say the same about everyone else.
Well, yeah. None of his stuff wasn't that severe, but...
Yeah, like, Hunter Biden's crime is doing drugs and getting bitches. Like, George Santos' crime is literally embezzling, like, from multiple people in different realms. And just,
yeah.
Just being a fraud bitch, like...
Hear that. Fuck bitches, don't fraud bitches.
Exactly!
Well, so usually we come up with like an outline for most, if not all, episodes. When it comes to unfurling George Santos's many identities, scandals, and just general shenanigans, it was impossible to come up with anything conclusive. So borrowing a page from the Trillbillies, we're just all gonna collectively go through the Wikipedia article and, in an attempt to make sense, make none at all.
Make even less.
Make even less sense. It's the old Metal Gear quote. What is it? It's not propaganda, but the deluge of information that will be what misinforms you.
Yeah. But...
So I guess just to catch us up to the present, George Santos is not the gayest thing to happen in the United States Congress as of late. An intern for Maryland Senator Ben Cardin was caught having gay sex on Amy Klobuchar's desk.
And you do know a second sex tape has been found with other people. So the second twink has hit the congressional.
Yeah. Oh, how do you show you the DM that I had sent in response to him sharing that story?
It's the picture of like the White House staffer whispering to George Bush.
Yes.
Sir, a second plane. Yeah.
Yes. A second twink.
I'm glad we're on parallel thought lengths there. I have this added on our outline for the Congress one period, but like it's kind of just a horny Congress in general, right? Like we've got the speaker with his porn accountability app with his son.
Oh, that's so gross.
We have a gooner as the Speaker of House.
Yeah, when I was talking about it, like I was kind of like, you know, it was for current events. I'm like, okay, like this is pretty funny. I like to include some funny current events in my class, but I'm like, yeah, maybe it's like not totally appropriate. But then like, you know, I the extra credit assignment that I had was like explain like, you know, how this, or not the extra credit, it was for the test. I had said it like explain, you know, how this whole speaker thing went down. And like obviously that would probably require a little bit of, you know, like, and so I checked before class and literally the first story you find is that like he goons with his son and stuff like that. And it's like, well, okay, like it's not Google safe. It's not my fault that it's not Google safe. It's fair to share. We're all adults here.
We talked about this earlier this year about like how the United States's government institutions, right, have this air of decorum and sensibilities, and you know, there's this culture of institutional behavior and legitimacy, right? And I think this year, if not the past 20 years, has shown us that like that is a falsehood. It doesn't really exist. And kind of like, if you can view like the erasure of civility, norms, and decorum in the United States Congress into one like Bonapartist figure, that is one George Anthony Devolder Santos.
Yeah, and God, I forgot that Devolder was part of his actual name because I remember that whole scandal that we'll get into it. But
yeah, the Devolder organization, I barely even understand that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Don't worry. It doesn't. You're going to read it and you're going to be like, what the fuck was, how did he get away with this? This, that's basically, how did he get away with all of the fraud that he did? How did he get away with like becoming the nominee and becoming like, how did he get this far?
Yeah, 100,
I don't know.
100%. And I guess to sort of like, you know, kind of tap things out on your whole point about how sort of the decorum thing, I think this particular, like this congressional session, like the first half of the 118th Congress, I think is pretty much maybe just killed the idea of like any of that like elite, you know, sophisticated luster that this institution had. You know, I think, as you said, like it had been, you know, a little shaky in terms of its grounds, but I think it's pretty much over now.
Yeah. Who can take them seriously right now? I mean, ever, but especially right now.
So before we get accused of being unnecessarily harsh or, you know, vulturous in our approach, I just want to read the charge sheet real quick. So he is indicted in the United States and submitted to a plea bargain in Brazil. In Brazil, the plea bargain was for check fraud. In the United States, 23 felonies, including 9 counts of wire fraud, 3 counts of money laundering, 2 counts of theft of public funds, 2 counts of making materially false statements to the House of Representatives, 1 count of conspiracy to commit offenses against the United States, 1 count of making false statements to the Federal Electoral Commission, 2 counts of falsifying a record or document, 2 counts of aggravated identity theft, and 1 count of unlawful monetary transactions over $10,000.
And then you have check fraud in Brazil.
Check fraud in Brazil, exactly.
Which is wire fraud.
Yeah, I thought it was
just
like
wire fraud of another name.
I will get it. I thought it was slightly more serious because I know they wanted him like extradited there. I was like, for just wiring some money, like I feel like there has to be a little bit more underneath the surface there.
Oh my god, I can't wait for the QAnon conspiracy that has George Santos listed as like a agent of the Lula government.
Oh god, no. We're going to read it. You're going to realize why I said no so fast.
Well, let's just get straight into it. Okay. So he was born in on July 22nd, 1988.
Getting into it, huh?
Yeah. Two parents, both of whom are from Brazil. And he has a younger sister named Tiffany, who I don't think we've ever seen in public, right?
No.
His maternal grandparents were also born in Brazil. And most of the family seems to be from Brazil, with one great-grandparent on his mother's side being from Belgium. So Fatima Devolder, his mother, emigrated to Florida as a migrant worker, later moved to NYC. His dad was a house painter, and Santos has claimed dual citizenship in both the United States and Brazil. In 2013, however, a Brazilian court described him as American.
You know, I think we've committed a rather egregious act already, and we've done some Holocaust erasure in this.
Allegedly.
I was like, okay, at least he can pretend like there's a chance with that great-grandparent being from Belgium, but, like, not that much.
I'm already scrolling down into the controversy because, like, I need the reference.
That's not even a criminal charge. That's just, you know. That was a legal scandal.
Wait, sexual harassment allegations? What the
fuck? Okay, start from the start.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to.
All right, we'll get through this. Sorry for the interruption. I just thought.
No, you're good. You're good. I'm just like, I'm just trying to find like the reference of like, yeah. Okay, there we go. So in 2020, Santos claimed that he was biracial, and that his Brazilian-born father had Angolan roots, which Jewish Insider could not confirm. Santos was raised Catholic, but at points in his career has claimed to be, quote, Jewish, quote, Jew-ish, quote, half-Jewish, quote, a non-observant Jew, quote, a proud American Jew, and a Latino Jew at other points. Santos has described himself as a Catholic, which is the root of this controversy here, right?
Yeah.
He's just one of those Catholic Jews, obviously.
Jews from Jesus, you know? It's
yeah.
Now, at a meeting at a U.S.-Israel PAC a month before his 2022 election, he courted pro-Israel activists by falsely claiming to be halakhically Jewish, according to attendees. A co-chair of the organization said this served to give the impression that his mother was Jewish, getting a chuckle out of the crowd. His former roommate said he frequently made anti-Semitic jokes, saying it was acceptable because he was Jewish, and corroborated an account that Santos previously joked online about Hitler killing Jews and blacks.
He's ridiculous.
it gets worse. So, like, on a podcast in May 2023, he said that he was raised Catholic, but considered himself a member of the tribe because his mother's ancestry was predominantly Jewish. Santos said he had many Jewish friends among his constituents and went to Shabbat dinners more often than most. 6 months later, he promised CNN's Manu Raju that he was still working on getting proof of his grandparents' ancestry, but that was difficult due to the ongoing Russo-Ukrainian war. How convenient. In Brazil, he said he was finishing getting the last pieces of it, which he described as evidence that would show his grandparents, after emigrating there, forged documents, quote, so they can blend in and all of that.
I think the idea that the evidence that his grandparents forged their documents would have survived all this time. And like, right. The government had done nothing about it. They didn't care, anything like that. And the way he's talking about it, right? Like, it's the, Russian Ukraine. I mean, here's our conspiracy, right? Did he instigate the Russo-Ukrainian war to hide the evidence that he's
most likely?
Who knows? Who knows? Maybe Tim's
putting some intel.
I mean, the real nightmare in all of this is, what if he's some kind of arcane chaos god wreaking havoc on the world?
Yeah, he does give me Loki vibes, but like, right? A bad Loki, like a failed.
Like, he's not good at his Loki. Job. He's not good at his right. job.
Exactly.
It's like one of like the weird, like, it's like the crocodile one that they've had in the series.
Right. And just sitting around.
It's like, someone's got to be bad at being bad, you know? Not everyone can be good at it.
Now, Santos has said that his family was poor during his childhood, living in a rat-infested basement apartment in Jackson Heights, Queens.
It was him.
So he was up with all the... I swear to God, if he stayed in Jackson Heights longer, he would have pretended to be Bengali. I swear to God. Near a Brazilian immigrant enclave in Astoria. Relatives and friends recall that his parents and an aunt often bought him dolls, toys, and clothes, despite their lack of money, and that the family television was constantly tuned to the Brazilian Globo TV network. Fun fact, Globo TV was like, as far as I understand it, is kind of like a right-wing CNN Fox News thing in Brazil.
Oh,
and the family that owns Globo TV like really fucking hates Lula, apparently. That's just hearsay. I don't know too much about Brazilian politics.
He's Lula's inside man.
He was keeping up on Oppo research.
Yeah. You know.
So his parents' marriage appears to have ended by 1998 when records in his dad's native state of Minas Gerais, I don't know how to say that, show that he remarried there. Santos remained close to his mother, living with her intermittently until her death, and maintaining infrequent contact with his father, with whom it has been said he had a strained relationship. According to a biographer, Santos developed a reputation within his family for deceit and theft during his childhood.
Messy little bitch since day one.
So let's get back to the controversy section. So on his campaign website, Santos wrote that his mother was female executive at a major financial institution, worked at the South Tower of the World Trade Center, and died a few years later after surviving 9/11. But on her 2003 visa application, his mother stated she had not been in the country since 1999. In June 2001, she reported that she was living in Brazil.
How long it's been since I forgot that that was him. It is, so many things have happened since that first, like, controversy. I forgot that that was Santos.
Yeah, like, it's the next part there. The in July 2021 wrote that 9/11 claimed my mother's life. Which was immediately disproven, almost. That's the thing that's, like, I think kind of, like, it's, like, the moral of the story for, like, Congress this year, right, is that, like, anything you can say or do will immediately, like, someone on the internet will find out, like, the truth of it, like, within 24 hours, almost.
That's why I just admit to everything up front.
That's a solution.
You have to.
They can't get you otherwise. So, a priest at the family's Catholic church reported that Santos told him the family could not afford a funeral when his mother died in 2016. The priest recalled that a collection at a memorial mass raised a significant amount for the family, which he gave to Santos. He also had a friend set up a GoFundMe. In November 2023, Vanity Fair reported that the funeral home never received the $6,000 it was owed for its services.
Oh my god.
So just defrauded a church, defrauded me. Like,
anybody can get it. Equal opportunist fraud.
I get the funeral home, I even get the GoFundMe, but like the church, that's
I mean, I get right. I get the church, the funeral home, right? I mean, you know, fuck them, but like
they've done some shady things of late, like, you know. But the church.
But this is.
I'm
like,
not even religious, but that just sounds like you're going straight to hell.
Well, and it's not even so much. It's like it's not the church. It's like the church was the facilitator to like get it from, like, you know, these, like, you know, people who are go to, like, you know, the mass and whatnot. Right. And they're so you like defrauded like your neighbors and stuff like that.
They just think that they're helping someone innocent, and it's just like. It's just so George Santos can be on OnlyFans like 10 years before he said that he knew about OnlyFans.
Oh, man. Well, we'll get into that.
Now, in a 2023 interview with Piers Morgan, Santos insisted his mother had been at the World Trade Center the day of the attack. Quote, "It's quite insensitive to try and rehash my mother's legacy," he said. "She wasn't one to mislead me. I stay convinced that's the truth."
I don't think she's the issue here.
Damn, literally lying on your mama. Said she, like, if that is false, it's because she told me that. Like, no, she didn't. You lie.
Right.
Oh my
just
god.
Lying.
You're not accusing me of lying about being Jewish. You're accusing my mom.
My mother. My dead mother. How do you feel about that?
Bin Laden personally killed her.
Oh, God. It was actually aimed at her. It wasn't at the World Trade Center. It was for her.
Yeah.
She survived.
Except when it's politically inconvenient for me to admit that she survived. But depends on how I'm feeling.
Let's see. So we got a little bit about, okay, he holds a GED, attended IS 125 in New York. his classmate, who later defended him in a criminal case, recalls that he took ESL, like many other students from the schools from immigrant families, and often offered to take girls shopping. What?
Well, at least we know he is gay.
Like, yes, girl, I'll take you shopping.
That's the one thing we know for sure. That's the one thing we know for sure. Is he is not.
Though there's some parts of that too.
No, I can tell you, I've seen, known, been around so many messy queer people. There is no way in hell that George Santos isn't queer. Maybe if there's a lie, maybe he's actually like bi or pan and he says that he's gay, like to be cool. I don't know. But like that is someone who is a part of the community, like no matter what. We don't want him, but he's there.
There's something interesting there because it's like with Pete Buttigieg, there was so much hay that was made by his supporters, I'd say, that like he's gay and you don't support him. You don't take
him seriously. Well, he's gay and he's young.
I mean, he's gay, but like you don't get this part of like, you know, his gayness being part of his identity. And I know that like your sexuality doesn't have to be like a cornerstone of your identity to be valid, but everything with like him trying to be like white Obama to like in interviews being like, if there was a pill I could take that would make me straight, I would take it. And like having no real like trying to relay his experiences of being gay, like none of it seems sympathetic or like necessarily like true to form for other people. Like that seemed to be really defining. But then with Santos, everything from like the drag scene to like being messy to even like the social media behavior, it lines up well. All right. So George moves to metropolitan Rio de Janeiro, where his mother had then been living around 2008 and lived there around 2011. Although acquaintances of Santos from that period are unsure whether he lived there or merely visited. Many just knew him as Anthony de Volder. His mother lived in difficult circumstances, working odd jobs, moving around frequently due to unpaid rent, and obtaining electricity illegally. But Santos told people his family had money because his father was a high-paid executive in New York City. He often seemed to have money and spent that money freely, but no one knew if he actually worked. A friend from that time says Santos was very involved in local LGBT activism, handing out leaflets and regularly attending meetings of a local activist group and pride parades. Two former acquaintances said he competed as a drag queen in Brazilian beauty pageants in 2008 using the drag name Kitara Ravache. I hope I said that right. With one saying that Santos began dressing in drag in 2005. Manuel Antiquera, who performs in drag as Eula Rochard, recalls Santos returning from a 2007 trip to the U.S. with expensive materials for a dress that were not available in Brazil at the time. Santos denied having been a drag queen, calling the allegations categorically false and accusing the media of making, quote, outrageous claims about my life. 2 days later, he said, quote, no, I was not a drag queen in Brazil, guys. I was young and I had fun at a festival. While in Brazil, his politics were shaped by his family's generally strong support for right-wing politician Jair Bolsonaro, a federal deputy at the time who later became Brazil's president. This was coupled with disdain for Brazil's president at the time, Lula, whom the Santoses frequently disparaged on social media. Santos supported Bolsonaro despite Bolsonaro's open homophobia. After winning his House election, Santos posted a picture of himself with Bolsonaro's equally conservative ally, Carla Zambelli. Him and his mother were avid bingo players, even though commercial bingo is illegal in Brazil, although it's allegedly not seriously enforced.
A fucking bingo ban?
I guess it's like, yeah, let's see.
And we don't need to look into that. That's a little weird, but...
So it's like, okay, he's scamming in New York City. He's scamming in Brazil. And
no crime is too small.
But he's also on the cutting edge of like being right wing. You know what I mean? Of like, this is far more commonplace now than it was then. And it was probably less visible then. But like, the only thing we had equivalent to this was like log cabin Republicans, right? Who were like basically like gay guys from California who were business conservatives at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, supporting Bolsonaro, I think we're pretty firmly in the right wing.
Yeah, because it's like the last time we saw gay fascist was like Nazi Germany, you know, and then it kind of got colded back, at least in the U.S. space, into like social conservatism and stuff, right? But like,
mm-hmm.
Santos is like a real callback to like Weimar era and even like Nazi era fascists of like, yeah, these guys are gay. They know that they know that society hates them, but it doesn't matter. They want to commit crime too,
and we should let them.
And we should. I mean,
that's how it was.
And I mean, there it is. And it's like, I don't know what to make of like the time in Brazil, but being a scammer of some sort and maybe getting money from gambling to like finance stuff seems to be par for the course, right?
Mm-hmm. Big scammer, big embezzler.
So we're gonna try to get into his career as best we can. So from 2011 to 2012, he worked as a customer service representative for Dish Network. Hired for his second language skill, he handled calls from Portuguese-speaking customers. Coworkers recall him having the gift of gab and good phone skills to deal with customers, but he was also willing to bend rules. In his first week, he figured out how to game the system to produce lower average call times, which of course many employees did, but it took much more time to learn how. On several occasions, Santos left the call center during shifts to go shopping. Coworkers wondered why he was working there for 12 an hour, as he often claimed his family was extremely wealthy. The New York Times verified sometime after 2013, he worked for Hotels Pro, a subsidy of Met Global, which was later reported to have many negative online views. In 2016, he moved to Orlando, Florida, where Hotels Pro was opening an office. He registered to vote and changed his driver's license to his Florida residence. In 2017, using the name George DeVolder, he began working in an unconfirmed capacity for Link Bridge Investors, a small company that hosts closed-door conferences for investors. Oh, so they let y'all do inside trading. That's great. So his campaign disclosure form in 2019 and a company document list him as a vice president. But that same year, the company president testified in a lawsuit that he was a freelancer who worked on commission. A press release for the company referred to him as its New York regional director. Interesting. In January 2020, shortly after launching his first campaign for Congress in 2019, Santos begins working for Harbor City Capital, a Florida-based alternative investment firm. The SEC later filed a civil suit accusing the company of running a $17 million Ponzi scheme. In June, during his first run for Congress, Santos, then under the name George DeVolder, opened an office for Harbor City Capital in Manhattan and became the firm's New York regional director. He was not named in the lawsuit, and he has denied knowledge of the fraud. In 2020, he claimed to be managing $1.5 billion in funds for this firm. And an investor called him after the suit was filed, crying that he had lost $1 million of his money of his own money as a result. Harbor City paid Santos at least until April 2021. But a New York financier said Santos told him that he had been let go before due to conflicts with his political activities. So
all
so
he know is scam, 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 no
he
matter
went pro.
What.
He went pro in 2019. But
he did go. He did go pro. He got called up to the big leagues. He ain't in the minors no more.
And this is just his business career. We haven't even gotten into. I mean, it's amazing to go from like small time hustling to like financial crime. Amazing.
Right. So like what I'm getting about the bingo is like they said him and his mom played bingo. I'm guessing that they were like some of the big people in it actually. Like they held down like a street or something, because the fact that they mentioned it made it seem like it was actually serious and a part of him scamming and not just, oh, everybody plays bingo, even though like it's illegal.
Yeah, it's kind of, it feels like such a minor detail to like
to add, but yeah. It means something.
Now, the DeVolder organization seems to be something that he founded for himself. He has given inconsistent explanations of the DeVolder organization's business. The House Ethics Committee investigation found that Santos incorporated DeVolder in May 2021, although he reported income from it on his 2020 income tax return.
Magic,
according to his financial disclosures, he was the sole owner and managing member of the business, managing $80 million in assets. On disclosure forms, he called it a capital introduction consulting firm. Although based in New York, the company was registered in Florida, where it was dissolved in September 2022 for failing to file annual reports. Santos said that his accountant had missed the annual filing deadline. In 2022, DeVolder lent his congressional campaign more than $700,000 and reported receiving a salary of $750,000 and dividends of $1 to $5 million from DeVolder, even though he also listed the company's estimated value as in the same range. Despite claims about the company's size, Santos's financial disclosure forms listed no clients. Three experts in election law interviewed by The Times said that this omission could be problematic if such clients exist. In July 2022,
I would assume the fact that we haven't heard anything might mean that they don't.
They don't. I mean, this is a paper tiger. So in July 2022, it was estimated that their revenue was less than $50,000. Santos listed himself as the registered agent on the paperwork for the company, indicating Florida rather than New York residence. The company's mailing address was a Merritt Island apartment purchased in 2022. Oh gosh. Okay. An address owned by Harbor City's chief technology officer, Jason Benoit. Scam within a scam. Let's go.
That is okay. I don't understand. How is he saying I don't have any clients, but we're making $1.5 million to $5 million. How do you make the money then, sir?
Well, this is why he's paid the big bucks, is because he can figure that stuff out.
He can just make money without clients. Like, I don't know. If y'all are broke, just say so. Like, if y'all can't make money without clients, just say so.
I mean, if you lack the imagination to figure that out, then, I mean, that's the difference between you and him. That's why he's making the real money.
This is how I feel about all like business, like all of these type of jobs. I'm like, you're just making this up. You're just putting down numbers,
yeah,
and hoping that the IRS doesn't figure out, right?
You see, ma'am, it's supply and demand. Now, when supply goes up, demand goes down, and vice versa. You see what I'm talking about?
It's and like when both are zero. That's when you get to work. That's when you get to work the magic.
When no both supply, are zero,
no demand, $5 million. Like
when
that.
Both are zero, it's communism. God,
no supply, no demand, in communism.
Communism.
I think it's time to go back to the source books.
Oh my god. It's have you seen those like those really trite like charts they put up in like high school like civics classes or where like your social studies teacher might have had this. It's like the bowls and it describes various political systems and it's like democracy. You have two bowls. The community figures out what to do with them. Capitalism. You have two bowls. You invest in one and blah, 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 like bullshit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like how those guys actually think.
I think George Santos looked at that poster a little bit too long and was like, fuck it. I'm gonna just get the bulls. I don't need to figure out how to get the bulls, how to figure out how to work with them. I'm gonna just get bulls. And that's okay. And maybe I'll go to jail. But I'll be a queen doing it.
Oh, I mean, all you can aspire to in life is going to jail with some level of grace, right?
Yeah, so George Santos has already failed at that.
Well, he hasn't made it yet, but...
Yes, but it's not graceful at all.
No.
It's so funny.
So the ethics committee found that DeVolder's 2021 financial statements showed a $13,000 loss at the time Santos filed his 2022 financial disclosure. Yeah, exactly. So by the time he files his 2022 disclosure statement, DeVolder had $4 in its bank account. When Santos applied for the account, he told the bank that it made $800,000 in net profit every year and grossed $1.5 million, an amount far over what bank records showed it ever had. Representative Santos's use of both his business and personal accounts with the same bank seemed to primarily be to deposit and then withdraw funds, often at ATMs and or in all cash transactions, the committee reported. The source for significant cash deposits, which were often made just before a withdrawal for a similar amount, remains unclear.
He did it was good that he used the same bank because it was so easy for him to like get whatever money from which account and put it back. But he should have used a different bank. You should have two different banks. It makes it too easy to realize if you are doing all your fraud in one system.
So I guess this is a how-to podcast now?
Yeah, get it together. If you're going to be George Santos, this is how you do it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
This is how you commit financial fraud.
I just, you know how sometimes like you put up your debit card at something and then like you get a notification on your phone, it's your bank.
That you have
like,
$4 left in your bank account.
You have $4 left in your bank account. We're locking your shit. Don't even come back. You're broke. But if you have a business account, like they just let you do whatever. Nobody audits that shit. That's what it looks like. It's amazing how there's one set of rules for like everyday like working people, and then the minute you enter white collar spaces, suddenly it's a lot more lax and a lot more things seem to intentionally or unintentionally go unnoticed.
Is this why everyone wants an LLC? Because like maybe they owe to something.
I mean,
this is totally unrelated, but the I don't know if either of you have followed the college football scandal at U of M.
Tell us about it.
With the sign stealing stuff. I'm not going to get too to detail to it, but the whole reason I followed it at all, because I don't really care about college football that much, to be honest. But the only reason I followed it all is that the person in the center of it is someone I've known since middle school. I graduated high school with and whatnot. But at the center of this was, or not at the center, but like in part of this, as like more of his life has become unraveled. Let's look up Connor Stallions. I'm not exactly doxing the guy. I mean, he's more. he's very easy to find on Google. But he had an LLC And that was like this one thing where I can't remember if it was specifically that LLC, but he was like selling refurbished vacuums. And like there was like this article that had a picture of like his front porch where it was just loaded with like all these old vacuum cleaners. But I just, and like it very clearly just seemed like it was like, you know, like something nefarious is going on here. So that's what I was just thinking of, like the whole LLC thing. But also to your point about the you know, people who are able to have like different financial rules. I was just reading this article earlier today about Clarence Thomas, where he was I can't remember what period this was, but at one point he was in like serious debt because he like bought a $250,000 RV. And yeah, he was just complaining. Yeah. It was just like, and the article is just really like kind of like taking a lot of pity on him in the framing. I'm like, there's no level of pity that I have for this man.
Like, boo, you bought something you couldn't afford, you didn't need.
We have to raise my great-grandniece now. Where am I going to afford this at the Supreme Court unless someone pays for my luxury trips?
It's also, how much money do you make in the Supreme Court? You don't work, actually. Like, you don't have to work as much as a normal person has to work.
No,
he has a wife who
part of the complaints, too, were that, like, the other justices were richer because they had rich spouses. It's like, you know, you're the one who settled for a Nazi. Like, you know, I mean,
right. You like a broke Nazi. That's your fault. At least get one with money. Like, yeah, come on. Like... So you sell yourself for the highest bidder? Like,
so
I'm, yes, associate justices. Yeah, about the same.
Yeah, I'm assuming this is before taxes, but realistically, this dude is making at least $300,000 a year.
A little under. 28. He's an associate.
Okay.
But still.
That's still a lot, yeah.
I don't understand. Like, what do you mean you can't pay your monthly payments? Did you just buy it up all in front? You better get on a fucking payment plan. Like, get a loan from the bank.
This was earlier, so like his salary was it was like in the 100s at the time, because
things weren't as expensive.
But well, yeah, there's that. Well, it was still a $250,000 back then, so who knows how much it would be now.
He should have not got that brand new. He should have went to auction and got like an old rapper's, like a failed rapper's tour bus. Like, it ain't my fault that you decide to buy off lot and you couldn't afford it. Because if I did that, and I would have went and be like, oh, Clarence Thomas, I have bought off of the lot, I can't afford it. He would have called me a poor bitch. And I would have been like, you're right. Because why did I do that? I can't afford it.
This is reminding me of like that one episode of King of the Hill where it's revealed that Hank Hill says that he knows how to haggle for a car, but really he pays sticker price every fucking time.
Yeah. He gives that.
Starting with political activities. Santos was a president of United for Trump, a small New York State-based group supporting Donald Trump's 2020 re-election bid. In July of 2019...
What, he wasn't good enough for gays for Trump?
Right? In July 2019, the group staged a counter-protest to an anti-Trump rally in Buffalo, New York, which led to shouting and a fist fight. Santos tried to set up a limited liability corporation. There it is. And unsuccessfully tried to raise $20,000 for a planned 2019 rally.
I have more questions about that. Because you say unsuccessfully tried to raise $20,000. Does that mean that he raised some money? Does that mean that he raised $19,999? And he was like, we didn't get to 20,000, guys. I'm so sorry. You're not getting that money back. Like, did he just fail because people looked at him and was like, I feel like he's got bad intentions. Like, those are the questions I have.
I don't know, because, like, me and Josh have worked like campaigns before, right? And you always know like the certain kind of overzealous person to watch out for. But I think that like Democratic campaigns are just culturally different. I've never seen the inside of like a Republican Party meeting, a Republican Party campaign. To be frank, I have no interest.
Especially now, like I imagine the vibe is just very different.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Especially, yeah, with Trump.
Like do they is there like a precinct captain being like, okay, you gotta hit these doors, or like are they just foaming at the mouth about the gays all day? I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, there to an extent, I mean, there was a period where that was also true for Democratic ones, too. Just the foaming at the mouth about the gays was a different
That's true.
You know, it was still foaming at the mouth, just for a different reason.
Some of it was to the gays.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, God. Yeah, there was that.
I still can't believe that like she was able to brand herself as the gay candidate and like without even a sorry, and people ate that up. Like it kind of goes to show how like there is a certain constituency, and I mean we talked about this in a past episode about how like,
well, it's just the political amnesia in general, that like this country has.
It's amnesia, and it's also class politics to a certain extent. Like, sure. The usual suspects who are, like, Democratic Party, like, members and loyalists, like, were already going to pick that side, even if confronted with that. Even if they are active, you know, open members of the queer community, they were willing to shrug that off. Okay, so let's get into his congressional career. Let's just take a quick aside on New York's 3rd Congressional District. So, the seat is currently vacant. It was one of 18 districts that would have voted for Joe Biden in the 2020 election had they existed in their current configuration while being won or held by a Republican in 2022. It is the wealthiest congressional district in the state of New York, and in 2022 was the 4th wealthiest nationally. From 2023, well, basically all year of 2023, of the 14 districts covering New York City, it was one of the only two districts, along with New York's 11th, represented by a Republican. So the district includes part of the North Shore of Long Island. It's that side, right? So from what we can tell, right, is that it seems to be like a mostly blue district. And when it comes down to who Santos beat out, he did beat out a Democrat, right?
Yeah. So his race, he won by 53.7%. Robert Zimmerman, who does not even have a Wikipedia page, is who he beat. That was by 46. He was at 46.2.
I remember Robert Zimmerman had like some cringe tweets, but I don't really remember them all that well.
I mean, that was kind of just like half of the field. Yeah, let's be real. It's hard to differentiate them. But you know, New York had the issue of like sort of just having its districts just like really messed up because of Democrats drew kind of a crappy map. The Supreme Court, which Governor Cuomo, they had appointed conservative justices to the New York Supreme Court and whatnot, and like we kind of see this like right now. Like, there's a lot of just like weird like machine politics going on in New York that have kind of had like really negative consequences, where stuff that you would was a liberal left wing bastion doesn't really happen. Just cite a recent controversy that I just saw today, was that like the governor is going to like veto a bill that was intended to ban non compete clauses. So, very pro business and stuff like that. And so, like, you know, you have a situation kind of ripe for Republican pickups, which mostly were like, you know, the only two states that Republicans even did super well in 2022 with, you know, all the expectations for them to do well were Florida, of course, and New York, where they did pick up a lot of seats, especially in Congress.
Plus the third, I think I might have said this earlier, but the third district was like somewhat redistricted at this point.
Yeah.
I was just trying to give
you the context to the redistricting.
Yeah. So it's like, I can't really tell the difference off of these maps alone. Actually, I can kind of see it's like it cuts off part of Suffolk County and like includes more of Queens. I don't know what it is about that borough that makes it more red. I don't know what Santos was doing.
Well, you're hugging that oceanfront property.
That's actually there. It is, red. Yeah. And I think that's really what it is. Is like it's again, it's a big money district. So I guess when you appeal to the tax cut crowd, I guess that argument is very convincing.
And hey, he's gay, so you know your social sensibilities are somewhat protected in electing him.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they're not offended by that exactly. So Santos runs as a Republican for New York's 3rd Congressional District against incumbent, who was a Democrat, Tom Suozzi, launching his campaign in November 2019. Normally, the local Republican committee, known for the tight control that its leadership exercises over races for its nominations, would have discouraged an unknown candidate with such minimal experience. But the pandemic depressed interest in the race, and Suozzi was expected to win handily in any event. No other candidates put their names forward, leaving Santos as the nominee that year. Queens Republicans, still angry over his abortive challenge to them the year before, were unsupportive. Santos raised funds, spoke to donor groups, and attended a phone banking session at Mar-a-Lago with Trump's children. I want to see what that... I want to be a fly on that room of him and Eric and Don Jr. That would be crazy. His efforts impressed party officials. He bought entire tables at New York Young Republican events. Oh, God. Other candidates making the same rounds noticed that Santos repeatedly exaggerated his fundraising totals, with a wide contrast between what he said and what was reported in finance disclosure forms. Suozzi later recalled that he had no doubt he would defeat Santos, an unknown who was not well-funded and who at the time was registered to vote in an area outside the district. When reporters pressed him about living outside the district, Santos claimed an address that turned out to be one of his campaign treasurers. Suozzi recalled that during their few joint campaign appearances, Santos, quote, came across as a phony, and that because Santos was so little known in the district, he decided not to pay for opposition research, deciding it would be counterproductive to increase his name recognition by drawing attention to him, even negatively. He won, as expected, 55.9% to 43.4%, a margin of 46,000 votes. Despite the loss, local Republicans were pleasantly surprised. Santos refused to accept this defeat and falsely claimed that the vote totals had been manipulated. On brand. On
fucking very on brand for that area, that time.
I mean, in a way, like, Santos and Trump are like somewhat kindred spirits, right? They're both queenish. They're both scammers. Mm-hmm. You know, very, very much inflate what you say and like don't explain it.
They're both built like that.
They're both built like that. They are both built like that. Except, I don't know. Like, Santos is like, first of all, the sweater vest with the suit at least fit, like, is a little bit more flattering than Trump's like bizarre, like,
sloppy dress.
Right.
Well, it's not that it's just sloppy. It's like he intentionally gets it tailored that way. And then he stands like he has lumbar lordosis. Let me just pull this up. Like, you know how you'd be standing like this all the time? Like the second dude in the picture?
Yeah.
And it's like, listen, I get it. I'm a bigger guy, you know. I'm losing the war on carbs. I have NAFTA body. I get it. It's rough. We're all trying to hide our gut, right? But for crying out loud, like you can't just like do the thing where you have a suit so long it hides everything. Anyhow,
it doesn't work.
it's like we see it. Like if you, then the pictures
sounds of Trump like you haven't found a long enough suit is what I'm hearing.
I gave up. I gave up. So let's see. He began raising money and hiring additional staff for a recount, insisting that half the Democratic ballots should have been discarded, and refused to leave the orientation session for new members, even after his opponent's victory was certified. He spoke at a Stop the Steal rally right before January 6th, telling the crowd that the election he lost by 13 points was stolen from him. On January 6th, he attended Trump's Save America rally in D.C. and later said that Trump was energized, gave a great speech, and was, quote, at his full awesomeness that day.
After the speech,
liberal 9/11 happened, and Santos later said he was, quote, never on Capitol grounds on January 6th, called it a sad and dark day, and acknowledged that Joe Brandon won the 2020 election. Bum, bum, ba, da, dum, bum. Sorry. I'm out. All right. So, 2022, Santos is coming back. So, shortly after his loss, he formed Gad's Pack. What the fuck? And began raising money to run again. Former New York State Republican Chair Nick Langworthy, who was elected in 2022 along with Santos, said that he never stopped being a candidate and was spending time at Mar-a-Lago raising money in different circles. Let's see. This is getting deep. Oh, Sky, you were telling me about this, so let's read this. So after learning that Santos falsely claimed to have been endorsed by Trump, a major New York Republican donor who could not verify his claimed work shared her suspicions with friends close to Representative Stefanik, saying that they were tired of being duped and asked Santos for his resume. He refused, telling the request was invasive. With Santos's permission, his campaign commissioned a vulnerability study on him late in the year. Some of his campaign staff were so taken aback by what the study found, including much that subsequently became publicly known, such as questions about his education, employment, and ancestral claims, and discrepancies in various financial statements, that they advised him to drop out of the race. He refused, disputing some of the study's findings, and saying he would find and show them his diplomas. He never did. And after he told them he did not believe the information was as damaging as they did, the campaign staffers resigned. Those who remained grew increasingly concerned about Santos's propensity for falsehood, that they asked him to seek some kind of professional help. So now coming to another loser, Kevin McCarthy. So according to unnamed sources, Dan Constin, an ally of Kevin McCarthy and leader of the Congressional Leadership Fund, the main House Republican super PAC, told congressional leaders and donors about concerns that Santos might be revealed as a fraud. Through Stefanik, Santos was able to hire new staffers. He required those departed staffers to sign NDAs.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. God.
Also, like, I mean, God, like, it's just like, I don't know how Stefanik has like emerged through this, like everything that's happened this congressional session
completely was,
like,
unscathed.
Yeah, completely unscathed. Like, I mean, sort of like the only reason this complete fraud enters and sort of, you know, permanently disgraces the institution, right? I mean, that's what a lot of members are like really concerned about and whatnot. And like, she was involved with this. I mean, she looked like a total idiot throughout the entire leadership battle. It's really shocking to me that she has emerged as like okay from all of this as she has.
And relatively all you have unknown. To do to be is the less dumbest person. You, as long as you're not the dumbest person in the room, you're okay. And she knew that if Santos was in that room, she would never be the dumbest person.
That could be. Well, he's out of the room.
Oh gosh. Unopposed for the Republican nomination himself. Oh, okay, yeah. So Suozzi announced in November 2021 that he would not seek re-election to Congress and instead would challenge Kathy Hochul for the Democratic gubernatorial nomination. And the seat was left open, improving Republicans' chances. Unopposed, Santos runs against Democratic nominee Robert Zimmerman, who had run for the similar 4th District seat 40 years or what? Securing the
grandpa.
So he ran 40 years earlier, didn't work. Okay, Papa, nice.
You already lost 40 years ago. Did you do anything to improve?
I mean, 40 years is a long time. I would like to think he could have found something.
Obviously not, because he lost to freaking Santos.
Right, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Grandpa's a loser.
Well, okay, Robert Zimmerman also secured the nomination from his party in a six-way primary. His campaign had access to a 78-page Oppo research file on Santos that the DCCC had compiled, which, in addition to statements of political positions anathema to Democratic voters, found some of the problems with Santos's record. Some of these were flagged as needing further research, such as whether or not he had a criminal record. Since that further research would cost thousands of dollars... Bro, this is how I know they're not serious. Like, you should pay that money. Like,
exactly.
Like you raised all that money in fundraising. Like, I'm not talking about, like, individual campaigns. I'm talking about, like, D-Trip, right? So you know it would cost thousands of dollars. Just check the coffers. I'm sure you can cough it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I'm surprised they even did as much Oppo research as they did do, because, like, it just felt like, how do you let someone like this slip through the cracks?
Right, so it's like, if you're already there, and then you're like, oh, I could probably unlock, like, the final nail in the coffin. I just don't have, like, the $42 for this. Well, I'm gonna give up. Okay, that's...
Right, like, keep in nice mind... Nice job, D-Trip. The person who was in charge of, like, the, like, coordinating, like, the House campaigns from, like, the DCCC, he was, like, up for a promotion, basically, after this. After he lost his own congressional race, too.
What?
On top of it.
God.
Was it Sean? Yeah, Sean Patrick Maloney, I believe.
Familiar.
But it was Zimmerman who decided that he didn't want to do the extra research because it would cost thousands and it was so close.
But that's what I'm saying.
Himself in the foot.
Yeah.
But there should have been somebody who was like, no, it does not matter how little time, like, even if it's the day of, that is important knowledge to give to the people. That could be way in your favor.
Now, just let me check something before I make this joke real quick.
Yeah, Sean openly Patrick
gay. Maloney. Okay, that's why I feel comfortable making this joke. Sean Patrick Maloney, as the lead of D-Trip at that time, loses those races and still gets up for promotion. This is another gay man scamming his way to the top. it's endemic to both parties. What are we gonna say?
Yeah, so right now I don't think he's been confirmed, but he was a or has he already been?
Let me
this is assuming office TBD. I don't think his nomination has been confirmed. I could be wrong.
Okay, let me double check.
It says TBD, but I don't.
Yeah, United States Ambassador to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Oh, boy.
Pending as of June. So I assume there's been no movement.
Yeah, and I know that, like, certain nominees are getting, like, held up. I don't know if he's part of that list or not.
Well, it just came out. There was, like, a bunch of people who aren't getting their nominations confirmed by the end of the year. So very well be one of them.
It's possible, yeah. Oh boy. So I'm gonna cut just a little bit ahead. Okay. So campaign workers later described the organization as sloppy and the workplace as toxic. Santos preferred hiring younger, less experienced workers who would be less likely to second guess him. A former staffer described Santos as very high maintenance and demanding, saying that there was a feeling of paranoia throughout the campaign. Though he drove Santos to the office daily, the former staffer recalled being confused that Santos boasted of owning property in Nantucket while being picked up from a small apartment in Queens. Another employee recalled that her phone calls and emails were not answered for several days after she sent them. Oh boy. So just fast forwarding, he defeats Zimmerman in November 2022 by an 8% margin, flipping the district, and helping Republicans take control of the House by a narrow margin. His election made him the first LGBT non-incumbent Republican elected to federal office.
I bet you they'll do the extra research next time.
Now, just to maybe bring things full circle, right? So Santos said he would run again. Oh, actually, wait a second. Yeah, he was planning to run again in 2024, but based on the House Ethics Committee's report on him, he's recently announced he will not be running for re-election. So he did that shit. That's what that means. He did that shit. Yeah.
Mind you, he officially said that he was going to run in April of 23. Then in October, he was like, no, I'm still running. And then after this, he was like, no, I'm not running no more. I'm gonna just sit down.
And keep in mind, more or less right after he's elected, all of this breaks.
Right. Like, literally.
Because I remember when we were watching how many ballots it took to get McCarthy elected. Everyone's eyes were on Santos and whatnot. You have the State of the Union where Romney goes up to yell at him about how it's a disgrace that he's shaking hands with people in Congress. He's denigrating the institution. How dare you stand where, these people stood, all that stuff.
Yeah, and just commenting on that, yeah, Santos voted to keep McCarthy as speaker when eight Republicans joined with House Democrats to remove him. He refused to support Steve Scalise as McCarthy's replacement since the Louisiana congressman had not personally sought Santos' support.
Yeah. I've come
to the, are you going to shake my hand?
Literally. The quote is, I've come to the conclusion that my vote, in capital letters, doesn't matter to him. After Scalise dropped out of the race, Santos did not say whether he would support Ohio Representative Jim Jordan. He did promise to resign and reduce the party's majority if Republicans worked with Hakeem Jeffries or other Democrats to elect a Democrat or a Republican beholden to Democrats.
I really love that. He's like, I will literally throw myself on the sword. If also, you guys aren't nice to me, I will go in for the Republican Party, for everybody, the whole country. If you aren't nice to me, I'll do it.
Considering how it's you want to think they maybe believe their own nonsense, right? And that that the sake of the fate of the country lies in my hands, but because I'm not personally acknowledged, I'm willing to burn that bridge.
Did he have any committee assignments? Because it's mentioned here that he withdrew on January 31st. On small business and space science and technology.
Space is weird, but small business isn't a horrid committee.
I think he was on the committee for a month.
That would have been half a month by the time.
Yeah. Literally.
And him resigning.
I think he literally was on it for less than 30 days.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at.
He resigned from it because he was forced to.
I'm just trying to see who he was on committee with. So in the small business committee, I don't recognize any of these Republicans. Who I do recognize is one Sri Tanadar.
Oh my god!
So a certain kind of member is put on this committee, is what
you're a certain kind about.
Failed sons.
Sri Tanadar is the Democratic equivalent. Oh my god!
Do they need to be on a committee? Are you sure? We should put them on a committee? Small business. Small businesses are fucked.
Small business is one of those committees where there's some data. It's not
particularly like desirable. Like you don't really get a ton of donor attention there. You don't really get a lot of the thing, and it's not really a constituency committee either, so it's not like a tremendously desirable position unless you have like a strong I mean, I guess he pretends to have a background in small business, like I mean there's that, but
and it's not like
he's
there's
got
some
background in scamming.
It's not like it's a small like small fries committee either, right? Like you have Darrell Issa on this one on the Republican side, and from what I understand, he's one of the richest members in the Republican Party. And then even on the
Issa, yeah.
Yeah. And then you've got what is it? You've got like, yeah, like Jamal Bowman on the Democratic side. You've got like Ted Lieu. So
yeah.
You've got some major players on this one, even if it's not like the most desirable committee to be on.
Yeah.
Now let's get to political positions, because this is just going to get like brutal. So Santos has aligned himself with former President Donald Trump at a March 2019 event held by the conservative hashtag Walk Away Foundation. Oh, Lord. That encouraged members of the LGBTQ community to leave the Democratic Party. Santos, introducing himself as Anthony DeVolder, claimed to have formed a group called United for Trump and asked Blair White, oh God, a transgender YouTuber, how, quote, she can help educate other trans people from not having to follow the narrative that the media and the Democrats put forward. Oh God. In 2023, Santos attended a rally of supporters outside the Manhattan courthouse where Trump was arraigned on felony charges of falsifying business records. Okay, so all the dumb girlies are in a room together. That's wonderful. That's
you're horrific. Right.
That's
just
horrific.
The dumb girls being yeah. like, yeah, right? Right? We're so right. We're so great.
And it's like, I've definitely commented on the Democratic Party's like failures to like properly address queer issues before. But like running headfirst to the Republicans, that's a great strategy. That's fucking, oh my God.
Right,
like yeah. If I should hashtag walk away, it's from all of y'all. It's I should like
that's a smarter move. That's a smarter move. Like,
it's not Democrat or Republican. It's y'all are trash. The things that y'all do are trash. I'm gonna walk away from all of this.
But see, like you can't make money. Votes. But see, that's a consistent position that doesn't make money. Santos was like, no. We gotta find a way to scam people. So
right, walk away from the Democrats. Walk to me with your pockets full.
Oh my gosh. So Santos has called police brutality a, quote, made up concept. I swear to God. In a 2022 speech to the Whitestone Republican Club in Queens, Santos called abortion, quote, barbaric and compared it to slavery. I swear to God.
Yeah, usually you have to be black to get away with that.
But this has been a real year, like 2022 and 2023, of like Republicans invoking slavery for shit that is like not comparable.
It's like, please tell me how the abortion of fetuses is at all like slavery.
you don't want they've got an answer prepared for you, and you don't want to hear it.
You don't.
I kind of do. I want to see. I want to see the mental gymnastics, because I'm literally trying my hardest to be like, okay, no.
Well, because you see, under slavery, you had more, you know, black kids that were forced to give in birth, and yeah, we sold them to someone else, but at least had the opportunity to experience all the misery of life.
Exactly. When that's you the less are horrible allowed version. That's to the... live and be enslaved. You get that chance that someone didn't get if you were aborted. And I just believe that abortion bad, slavery bad, so equal.
You know, when you go to McDonald's and they don't give you the second cup of sauce, that is literally worse than slavery.
That momentary inconvenience that they've inflicted upon you, it's I mean, you are right, it's worse than being in bondage.
It's you know, when you
it truly is,
When you're, you know, really being like rude and like unnecessarily cruel to retail staff, and you're asking them, hey, do you have one of those in the back? And they look at you with dead eyes and say, there's nothing like that. We're not going to go in the back room and find it. And you say, no, I want you to go in the back. And they say, and they refuse. That's worse than slavery.
Yeah, at least, you know, at least during slavery, I could at least buy someone and they wouldn't have to look in the back.
Right.
If you wearing a mask is slavery.
And I just really don't understand, like, what do they mean by police brutality? The police aren't supposed to be nice. So I don't understand. At least to them. Like, I don't understand.
I'm sure his one interaction with the police was when the fine officer took his cat down from a tree.
I'm gonna be really honest with you. The fact that he's done this much like fraud and like rape, like just does like criminal stuff on a day-to-day basis to like to say
you
like,
need to be like fuck the police.
the fact he has no fear in his heart for the police is like, you are really crazy, bro. You're not afraid to get caught for real, like. Hey, dear listeners, thanks for tuning into this episode and belated holiday wishes from all of us here at the Greenhouse. This has been part one of two of our Profiles in Shame series on former Representative George Santos. I will have links to where you can find us on social media and across the internet in the show notes below. And you can continue listening to the contents on part two. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care.